Thanks, Michelle and all the kids, for leading us in prayer time. My name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here at Third Presbyterian Church at Pump Road. Welcome you all here on this wonderful Palm Sunday. I'm glad you're here. Glad you found your way to us. We've been in the midst of a series called The Church in HD, Biblical Images of the Church. We've kind of been looking at what does the Bible say about what the church is meant to be. We have all these sort of images of what the world says the church is, but in fact the Bible, if we look at it, says something very different. So we're finishing up this week and next week, and you can't have the church without Jesus. And so we're going to look at Jesus as an image of Jesus as the cornerstone. And so I invite you to turn in your worship guides or in your Bibles, whatever you brought today, to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I've even got it up on the screen for us today. And we're going to read this. And we've been talking about we're the people of God, we're the body of Christ, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. None of these are possible without Christ as a foundation, a building block for us as the church. And I'm going to try to talk with the kids here a little bit, try to talk with the teens, so that should be a fun little morning. So let's pray before we read this passage. Father God, we just thank you again for this day. Thank you for teaching us how to pray. Thank you for all the ways that you teach us and show us how to be your people, to be your body, and to be your temple. And Lord, we just turn our attention now to this passage, your word. Lord, may it inform us and direct us on how we are to live our lives as followers of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It says this, as you come to him, the living stone, it's talking about Jesus there, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So this morning we're going to talk about the image of Jesus as this chosen and precious cornerstone that we read here. And we're going to look at it in two parts. First we're going to talk about what in the world is a cornerstone, and maybe if there's some characteristics of cornerstones that we can learn from as a church. And then second part, we need to, in the beginning here it says rejected by humans. We can't talk about Christ being the cornerstone without also talking about his rejection. And that comes to head here in Holy Week. So we think it's a good thing that we're talking about these two things, these 2 weeks. Now, if you're here with us last week, we finished up the image of the temple of the Holy Spirit. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we read this passage from Ephesians 2. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. You see that? With Christ Jesus as himself. It's chief cornerstone. And him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, too, you are being built together. That's us. We're being built together to be a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. So we have this image of Christ as a cornerstone kind of throughout Scripture. And each of these themes relies on Christ as the foundation. And so we're going to look at this. Now, kids, where are some of my kids here? I see a couple over here, see a couple over here. How many of you like to play with Legos? I heard there was a Lego party. Me too, David. See, Lego. I still like playing with Legos. One of my favorite things to build with Legos was a town. And I would like to build, little houses and a hospital and a police station and a fire department and whatnot. Now, if I'm going to build those things, what do I need to build a house? Bricks? You need bricks? Now, would those bricks just kind of float around in space? You need a foundation. You need like one of those base plates, in Legos. So I would love collecting those base plates, because the more base plates I had, the more buildings I could build, the bigger my town would get. So I was looking for those base plates, those foundations. And if you build with Legos, you don't just build them sort of all randomly. If you want to build a house, you got to build all the blocks in a line, and you got to make them straight, and you build them up from there, and that you get your little square little house. Well, Legos. I like Legos. Now let me talk to the teens real quick. Hey, teens, way in the back. How you guys doing? Any of you play this game? You like this game, Angry Birds? I like this game. And it's really fun. Here's me playing Angry Birds. And the idea is you want to knock over all these green pigs with your bird. And you fling the bird, and it's supposed to knock over all the stones. And the fun part is when you hit just the right block, that the whole structure comes falling down. You know, and you just feel like this great success. You're like, wow, I knocked them all down with my one little bird. Well, you know, there's an image there. The strategy becomes identifying the key block to break, the key, like the cornerstone, really, of the little structure there. If you knock that one brick over, the whole thing comes falling down. The whole thing becomes unstable. It can't stand anymore because you've knocked down that one brick. Well, so what is a cornerstone? We're talking about Christ as a cornerstone. What is it? What is its purpose? Historically, a cornerstone serves as the foundational building block, kind of the first block you put in the ground when you're building some sort of building. And if we claim that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church, there are a couple of characteristics that we can think of when we think of cornerstones that we can apply to Jesus. It was usually the largest stone in the building, and it served as the primary load bearer for the whole building, meaning it held the whole weight of the building. And if you didn't have that, the building would come sort of crashing down upon itself. It was therefore the most important stone. You could have all sorts of other stones, but this was the single most important stone. And it would line up the axis, the vertical axis. It would say, okay, the building could be this tall based on the size of this foundational block, this cornerstone. It would say the building could be this tall. So it determines the height and the width of the building. It determines the size of the building. And depending on how the cornerstone, depending on its integrity, like an Angry Birds, it determined the entire integrity of the building. Have you ever played Jenga? You know this game, you pull the little blocks out? Yeah, you like that? You try to pull the blocks out, and, you know, you're going against your friend or your brother or sister. Well, what happens if you only pull out the bottom blocks? The whole thing falls over. It doesn't matter how well lined up all the other blocks are, or how perfectly they are shaped, or, you know, you've tried hard to get them all perfectly lined up. Doesn't matter. If you pull all the bottom blocks off, the whole thing comes crashing down. There's not a strong foundation. The tower falls. And this is the foundation that Christ serves for the church. Without him, the church would be nothing. It would just fall apart. It would be, you know, just a group of people, and it wouldn't be anything. So Jesus determines the vertical alignment of the church, what it's going to look like going up. It also determines the horizontal alignment of the church. The word cornerstone means it means laid at the extreme corner, the extreme end. And if you think about like these corners here, you know, it does this. It says, okay, the church is going to go this way, and it's going to go this way, and it's got to line up. And not only would the cornerstone be the biggest block that the builders would look for, they would look for the block with the most perfect right angles they could find, because it would determine, is this going to be a straight line? Is this going to be a straight line? And if it didn't have good angles, you'd end up with a faulty building. There would be other cornerstones in the building, but they were all determined, they all had to be determined based on the angles, the lines that the cornerstone established. You could say that the whole building takes its direction from that one single cornerstone. Now, we think of ourselves, we've been talking about us as the holy temple, the people of God, the body of Christ. We are those living stones. Take a look in your worship guide. It says this. Not there. Just look in your worship guide. Verse 5, it says, it talks about us being the living stones there. And we are the blocks being stacked up on Christ in the church, and we're being aligned in a line with what Christ, as the cornerstone, is determining for us. We're being lined up. And therefore, we, the church, we take our alignment from the cornerstone, from Jesus. And we could therefore say we don't take our alignment from sort of the outlying factors. We don't take our alignment based on a tree that's over here. We don't take our alignment from culture. We don't take our alignment from what the world says. We take our alignment. We are formed and shaped together by what the cornerstone is determining, the lines, the angles that the cornerstone is determining. We're not, you know, good news, we're not going to be aligned by some harebrained idea that Nelson and I come up with. We're going to be aligned with what Christ does. So we, the church here at Third at Pump Road, are aligning ourselves with so the angles and the directions and lines that Christ is establishing for us. Now, this raises an important question for us today. How are each of us being lined up and stacked upon the cornerstone that is Christ? If you ever look closely at a brick building, you know, think of the little bricks. All the little bricks are, you know, unique. They're different. You could put two by two, and you could say, well, this one's different from this one because it's got this characteristic. And frankly, they're all rather imperfect bricks. They're not perfect. You know, they got holes in them. They got, you know, they're porous, or maybe, you know, this brick over here. But when they're all lined up together, the strength of the wall is found when it's all lined up right. So each of us are like, you know, imperfect bricks, imperfect stones being lined up, and we take our strength from being the wall together founded in Christ, the cornerstone. Our vertical alignment with God and our horizontal line with each other, alignment with each other tells us a lot about our alignment with Christ. So I ask you today, how are you being aligned with Christ? Think about that today. All right, so that's part one. What is the cornerstone? Part two, we have to talk about this, is we have to talk about the cornerstone being rejected. It's sort of central in all the verses we talk about. If you go through the Bible and you do like a word search for cornerstone, all of them, almost all of them, talk about the cornerstone being rejected. So it's fitting that here we are in the midst of Holy Week. Today's Palm Sunday. Thursday, we'll remember when Christ was betrayed, and then Friday we'll remember his death, and then finally Easter, something else happens. But at the end of our Palm Sunday reading earlier, we read these few lines about Jesus and his journey to Jerusalem. So he approached Jerusalem and saw the city. He wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. It's like people are closing their eyes. They're like, well, we don't want to see what Jesus is saying. We don't want to listen to him. We're rejecting him. He goes on to say, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and you, the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another. We're trying to build up our own temple, and Jesus is saying, no, no. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. They were turning their eyes away from Jesus. They were rejecting what he had to say. Now here, Jesus is concerned about people rejecting him. He's concerned that the world will not recognize what he was about to do. Jesus is concerned that people are so caught up in their own lives, building their own temples, that they wouldn't recognize God's coming. They wouldn't recognize Jesus walking on earth as God. And this was a trend throughout history for the Israelite people, the Hebrew people. God often warned them to turn away from their practices. They were worshiping pagan gods. They were incorporating pagan practices into the rituals in the temple there. And time again, the Hebrew people failed to do so. They refused. They were so caught up in their own sort of lives that they refused to turn away from those things. They refused to see God in their midst. And they kept their backs to God and did not recognize and heed the warnings that he was giving. Now, historically speaking, there were consequences. There were real consequences for what happened. And just like we read, you know, there was an image of enemies creating an embankment against, you know, creating a sort of a siege against Jerusalem. Literally, the Hebrew people suffered, and they were conquered. And if you were here during our Advent series, we were talking about the prophet Isaiah and his conversations with King Ahaz. And do you remember what happened there? God told Isaiah, tell King Ahaz to put his trust in me. I will protect Israel if he puts his trust in me. Do you remember who King Ahaz put his trust in? The nation of Assyria. He decided, oh, I'll make a military pact with this stronger nation, Assyria, and they'll protect me because I just find myself unwilling or unable to trust God. Well, what happens? Assyria comes in and conquers Jerusalem, comes in and conquers most of Israel. You know, don't put your trust in sort of, you know, human instruments. Put your trust in God is what he's saying here. And we are a people with a long story hit tradition of rejecting God. We are a people with a proven history of being misaligned with God, being found outside the walls and the alignment that God is asking of us. And during his lifetime, Jesus faced many people who were not interested in aligning themselves up with him. There were many who rejected Jesus and did not do what he was calling the people to do. Jesus spoke to a certain group of people called the Pharisees, and they were in charge of making sure all the people were following all the laws. They had a control problem. They wanted to control people, make sure they did everything that the law said. And it was these very people, the Pharisees, the most religious group in Israel there, who rejected Jesus. And it says this in Matthew 21. Jesus said to them, the Pharisees, "Have you never read in scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." You know, it's a big cornerstone. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They recognized it, but then what happens? They looked for a way to arrest him. They rejected him. But they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. They were holding all these things in tension, but they rejected him. Here Jesus is basically saying to the Pharisees, who were interested in shaping the world in their own terms by controlling people, they would be replaced, and a new temple, the church, would be formed in their place. A new temple with Christ as the cornerstone. And what's shocking is the Pharisees know that Jesus is talking about them. They know. He's talking about us. And yet, they don't heed what he's saying. It's not that they didn't know. They knew. It was clear to them. But their conviction that they wanted control led to their rejection of Jesus, and they began to look for a way to arrest him. And friends, unfortunately, this is still the case today. Many in our world would not recognize Jesus for who he is. They would not recognize Jesus as the cornerstone. Excuse me. What is it about Jesus being the chief cornerstone that is so hard for the world? Why is it that Jesus is often rejected? Why is it that what he asks of his followers often causes them to stumble and to not want to follow him? He's clearly calling them to say, hey, listen up. Listen to what I'm saying. There's something for you. Why is it? It's so hard. Why is it he's rejected? And my guess is that we are all too concerned with our own temples of power and wealth and status. And the Pharisees wanted to cling to their control over the Hebrew people and refused to give up the power they found in the law. The temple Jesus is building is a threat to affluence and influence. When the rich young ruler asked what he must do to be a part of this new temple, the kingdom of God, what does Jesus say? He says, go and sell everything. The temple Jesus is building is a threat to the ways people want to live. Over and over, people walk away from Jesus because they do not want to conform their lives to his. They do not want to be aligned in the walls of the church with him. And for these reasons, the cornerstone is rejected. And this week we remember that. Jesus will be betrayed by someone in his inner circle because he's after some quick cash. The same people that shouted Hosanna just a few moments ago will be calling for his death in a few days. He will be mocked and beaten by Roman soldiers who will then gamble for his clothes. And the one man who had the power to stop everything, Pilate, will be too afraid for his own life to call for justice. And as Jesus awaits trial, many of his disciples will abandon him and leave Jerusalem of fear and abandonment or embarrassment. And few will be there on Good Friday to bear the shame of Christ hanging on a cross to die. Friends, the sin of our own self-centeredness causes us to be blind to who Jesus is and unable to recognize what he has accomplished. And during this Holy Week, I invite all of us to reflect on our alignment. How are we aligned with Christ, the cornerstone? And that even now, as we come to celebrate this meal and remember what he accomplished, that we would come sorry for our misalignment and sorry for our blindness to Christ and sorry for our rejection of him. Won't you pray with me? Jesus, we do come to this table sorry for how we've rejected you, how we turn our eyes away from you and turn them to the temples of this world, the temples of power, the temples of wealth, temples of status. Jesus, we're sorry. But Jesus, you do promise something new. There's a hope at the end of this week. So Lord, let us turn our eyes to the cross. And even though it's shameful that you hung there, it brings us hope today. We pray this in your name, the one who died for our sins. Amen.